It is the Riot Podcast.
Hello.
I think I need to sneeze one more time, Nikki, which is like the third time.
We were out in the lobby. Nikki had a sneeze that quite honestly knocked a few things off the walls.
Sometimes,
like, I have to go back up there and hang some fixtures.
Sometimes my allergies really bother me, and my nose is bothering me, and my right eye is killing me. So yes. It's allergies. That's when I can tell. It's my eye. Chris is in the studio with us too. Our eyes hurt.
Here's what's really weird. I used to be chief among you sufferers.
It's just terrible. Don't rub your eyes, but yeah.
Look at me.
It feels so good to rub your eyes. Don't do it, but it feels so good.
Okay, the only thing that I do is when my eyes like that, you just got to go water.
Water?
Like just
get
flush
your
it with
eyes
water.
To water.
And it actually, no. I mean like grab water and flush your eyes out with it. Splash it into
but
your eyes.
But then they're like, oh, she's crying. She's had
hurts.
A bad day.
It hurts a little, but it'll... Like that initial
Stop
hit
it.
Of water mm-hmm. hurts, but then it really does make your eyes. You are totally like kind of half winking at
me. I'm not touching it anymore.
Have you ever seen Arrested Development where the mom does that wink and he's like, is that a wink? That's what that looks like right there.
Okay. We also have the bright lights in the studio. And,
that's not helping.
And it's hurting my eye, but I think that's supposed to help you not sneeze. Because if you have to sneeze, don't you look up at a light?
I thought that if you have to, when you look at the light, it makes you sneeze.
Does it?
That's what I thought. It's like, look
no
at the
wonder.
Light and you'll sneeze and like get it over.
Could we turn them off? No, Chris, it's fine. I'm teasing.
No, Chris, turn them off. Okay.
Oh my gosh. It's so much nicer. Gosh. Okay, let's just do the podcast, guys.
Well,
you don't need to know this.
I have to ask a question.
Yeah.
Watery-eyed one. Is that, are we going to go play with the VR now?
Yes, we can.
Okay.
Virtual reality. We have Family Force 5 coming in soon.
Uh-huh.
So we'll be doing a special virtual reality video for our Radio U Riot YouTube channel.
We will.
So Obi's been setting some stuff up today to get ready for that. And
Eric and I spent like a year getting it ready yesterday. It took us all day, which sounds so ridiculous, but like it almost took the whole day to get it set up in there,
which is what we thought it would.
Yeah. So like it's set. Well, let me just put it this way. Whatever the outcome is, I want you to know a lot of work went into
it. Good. Okay. Well, I would like to go try virtual reality.
I really want you to play with it. So we're going to go do that.
Okay.
If you're feeling up to it.
I am.
And then
me and my one eye.
We'll talk about it tomorrow in the podcast. Let's see, we've got how would you still be up for heroin that was strapped to your butt?
These are the questions that not a lot of people are answering.
Yeah, I mean, have you guys thought
what
about
do you
it?
Do
like if you, let me ask you this, what if your antibiotic got dropped on the floor?
Oh my gosh. So in this story we talk about, you know, you flush your drugs. Prescription drugs, thank
right.
you. But if you had someone who you caught doing, like, they were smuggling drugs and they were located on their butt, you just take them to the toilet, you just slash it, and it's right there.
All right, sit down.
Sit down, we're getting rid of it.
This is a double flusher for sure.
The double flush.
Also, President Clinton's writing a book. Climbing Mount Everest, the Amazon Echo show, blowing up a snowman. It's real. And you don't know this, but you may, in your pack of Aunt Jemima, you may have gotten a free sample of Listeria. So we talk about that too. So
Listeria.
Listeria.
It always makes me think it's like some song, some wrong song. All right. Enjoy the podcast, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Baby's crying. Nails on a chalkboard. Your girlfriend saying, we need to talk. The worst of the riot. Yep, it really is that bad. On Radio U.
Did anyone else watch that Blade Runner trailer yesterday?
You know what? I almost tweeted. I even thought it looked really good. So, and I never watched the original one.
Five times.
Five times on the trailer?
I watched it three times back to back. I was blown away by it. I don't know how the movie is going to be, but the imagery in that trailer is stunning. It is stunning. The scale, the look, and quite frankly, multiple shots that look absolutely like they could have been in the original.
Yeah.
And that was part of what was amazing to look at. It was just like, whoa, is that? No, that's new, but I was...
You think they tied the movies together pretty well?
Yeah, visually for sure.
Visually.
I mean, who the heck knows what the story's going to be?
Don't worry about that yet. Just enjoy the trailer.
Whatever. Well, and there's something to that. It's a lot easier to make 2 minutes look amazing than maybe 2 hours.
Well, that's its own art form. And it is. Making a trailer, it is like making a little mini movie to promote.
I haven't been blown away by a trailer like that in a long time. In fact, a lot of trailers can be a little underwhelming.
So Blade Runner was how old of a movie with Harrison Ford?
I want to say that it came out in 1982.
Okay. Because after watching the trailer for the new one, I wanted to pick your brain on so what's this all mean?
Well, Nikki, here's the thing. First off,
are you wearing your Blade Runner shirt?
I am.
Oh, just in honor of it?
No, I
didn't
even.
I didn't know you did that intentionally or on purpose.
Not intentional.
You're so in tune with the trailers.
I got so blown away, I wore the shirt. You know what? I did laundry last night.
So you have a nice fresh cycle.
I just had a bunch of clean clothes and just whatever.
Subconsciously, you went with Blade Runner.
This came out of the dryer. Real talk. It's not for everybody.
Of course.
And to be honest, there are a couple of things in that movie where I've just be like, oh, they wouldn't do that today.
the 1982 one?
Yes. That being said, if there's one or two things that I could lift out of it, I would tell you that it's shockingly amazing. Like, there's so much to it. So much.
To it.
Yeah. About existence, about life, about what we're all here for, about knowing who we are, just like they said in that song. So
I guess we'll just have to see if the new one.
And Nikki, I'll tell you that.
Follows that. Okay,
I have Blade Runner on Blu-ray if you want to see it.
Yeah.
When it came out on Blu-ray, I got really excited. I also got really sick. It came out, I think I got it
from the movie you were sick in general?
I'm just telling you my story that I was, I came back from Oregon. It was over a Christmas time, whatever, and must have picked something up on the plane and had a fever for 2-3 days straight. I also happened to have gotten Blade Runner for Christmas, and I watched it. Wait for it. I watched it 3 times one day.
And did you get any of it? Or
I watched it the first time. I watched it a second time with commentary.
Yeah.
And then the third time I watched this other cut of it. And when I got done, I was just like, I'd been in the future.
You're like, what is this world? You just can't handle it anymore.
Yeah. Well, between the movie and the fever, I don't know. I think the fever is what enabled me to watch it 3 times.
As long as there's not some super bug that's still been growing on your Blu-ray for Blade Runner from when you were sick.
It couldn't still be living.
I don't know. Just making sure.
Could it? Can it? I don't know.
You keep it in a warm space, just warm enough to... fester and grow.
I don't know. It's kind of cold in the basement.
Okay. Well, I'll borrow it. I'm interested. But I thought the trailer looked fantastic.
I mean, whether you like the old movie or whatever, that 2 minutes, that is a great 2 minutes. I can't guarantee any more than that.
And what was it? Blade Runner
2049,
48,
I think.
49?
I think it's 2049. But you know what? What's a year between friends?
The Riots is an award-winning morning show.
It's literally a medal for sucking.
Now that is a medal for trying.
Okay.
Radio U.
It concerns you. It does. When you look into a kitchen at a restaurant, actually, that just concerns you, period.
Especially don't look at the floor.
Yeah. Well, that was my thought. If you saw your waitress dropping, food... when it came out and you see her waiter friend quickly grab it and just put it back on her tray. It's like, it's fine.
Like she's helping her.
It's fine. What are you talking about? Just eat it. It's fine. So that would bother you, right? You know what I was thinking about reading this is, how many times when you go to a pharmacy, how many times they just drop a pill on the floor and they're like, oh, here, just pick it up. Just put it on the thing.
Well, they don't have a toilet to flush it down. if I ever drop a pill, I just flush it down the toilet.
Do you really?
Well, if you have older medicine or something, you're not supposed to throw it away. You're supposed to dispose of it in a safe manner. And I was always told just flush it.
Well, I was thinking is if you've got a Z-pack or something, 5 pills. If one of them fell on the floor, you'd be like, man, just brush it off.
No, I feel like that one comes factory sealed. A Z-Pack does.
You're talking
if you got your antibiotics.
I know, but I'm saying if you crack it open and you got your pill and you're going to put it in your mouth.
And then it slips.
And then Eric walks in and you're like, hey, oh gosh, I just dropped it on the floor. You just pick it up and take it.
It depends. Do I have a lot? Do I have extras?
No, it's a Z-Pack. There's only 5 of them.
Okay, then that's precious. So yes, you're going to take it.
Yeah. So you don't really question, you don't question where your medicine's been. You just trust that whatever floors it's been on, that whatever's in it, it's fine.
And it's medicine. So like, is a bug going to attach itself to it?
Yeah. So I guess I can't go, having established this, I can't go getting all judgmental about someone who's had heroin strapped to their butt. Right? I mean,
I feel like there's a difference between a Z-pack and heroin.
You do?
I do. Like in the medical world.
Okay. All right.
Medicinal, pharmacy, pharmaceuticals.
Reading here about a woman who was picked up at the U.S. Customs and Border Protection.
She went down the wrong line, I think. And then they noticed she's got a big butt.
They're like, dang, girl. We want to.
Which is in.
Could you step out?
Or
for a minute?
Have been in. So I don't know, like, if you're supposed to profile.
I think it's still in.
Profile somebody like that.
What, the thing is, when you're drug smuggling, you want to look like you have a big butt, but not so big they want to get a second look at it.
Yeah, not like you can see the outline packs of the drugs.
Yeah. So she had what turns out to be $45,000 worth of heroin strapped to her butt, which, by the way, is not as much as you think.
Wait, and it's not quite, like, I don't know how you're visualizing this, but just imagine where your pockets are in your jeans. Square things of, like, just... You know, like from a movie,
right.
The wrapped up plastic drug thing.
Like covered in duct tape, basically.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And then duct taped around her jeans.
No, no. They're inside the jeans.
Oh, they're okay, on the outside.
All right, so did I, all right?
But that was for the picture?
No. You have to look closely at the picture. Her jeans are pulled down.
Oh, I thought they were just up.
It looks like... They are just, like, it's just on the outside of her jeans. But if you look closely, they've been rolled down for the photo.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she had that jammed in there. And then she had her shirt, like, pulled down over it. And she's like, hey, I just went to Mexico and got this butt. What do you think about it?
And I don't think she wasn't caught in an airport, though, right? She was just walking over one of the pedestrian bridges.
You know, I thought she was in a car, but maybe she was just walking. Boy, that is a genius plan right there. But I guess she figured, like, you're less likely to get busted. You know, you're just walking through. I don't know. It's been a few years since I've walked across the border, but I have done that before. And I'll have to say,
casual.
I gave him my little card and it was just like, whatever, man.
You also didn't have a bigger butt.
I mean,
I didn't suspect you.
I have a big butt, but it's
not
proportional.
Like drug butt.
It's proportional.
It's not.
It's crazy. So that day, they actually ended up seizing. Oh, man, it looks like over $500,000 worth of illegal drugs.
Isn't that funny? That's that one spot.
Yeah, just
the
right there.
One tiny spot.
That is insane. And these are people from the United States going into Mexico, strapping on the drugs, and just walking over.
This is how you walk back and forth.
Well, I guess best way to hide is an open side or whatever.
And I bet you we're flushing those drugs, too. Someone's going to the toilet.
Well,
yes, no.
I hope so.
The Worst of the Riot box set is now available nowhere because we know you wouldn't want it anyway. It's the Worst of the Riot on Radio U.
Your big thing, you want to climb Mount Everest, and you've been training, you've been working through it, and then you realize a little something. It costs money to climb Mount Everest.
I forgot how much it costs.
I don't know. You, like, this doesn't count your gear. Your travel, your snacks.
This is just like the license, like the okay to climb Mount Everest from the government. This is the fee you pay every time you climb up it.
Mm-hmm. It would be approximately $11,000 U.S., somewhere in that neighborhood. You know how currencies are.
That's a lot of money. But they say that's the biggest amount, that's the biggest source of tourism, like money. For that country,
yes,
is the fees for climbing Mount Everest.
And the thing to keep in mind is that when you climb Mount Everest, it's not like you go up there and there's no one there. There are, I can't remember what the numbers are, but there's an insane amount of people that climb Mount Everest every single day. And so they've got base camps. Like, there's a way up the mountain. It's not just like you go there and you're like, well, I guess I'll figure it out. It's not a thing. No, like, you go to base camp.
There's
base
a protocol
camp one.
That you follow.
There's like a whole thing about
so
it.
So if you're going there to climb up it, it's not really like you could just not follow the rules and climb up yourself.
No,
you really
not.
Have to follow it and pay the money.
Mm-hmm. So here's what this guy did. His name's Ryan Sean Davey. He's from South Africa, and he wanted to climb Mount Everest, but as we mentioned, it's a little pricey. So he had an idea. I'm just not going to pay.
He was hiding in a cave. To be, like, if you ride a train or something in the movies and they're always like, here, tickets, tickets, and you're trying to hide out because you don't want to pay or you don't have a ticket. Kind of like that. He was trying to hide and not meet up with people. But those other travelers and other climbers saw that this guy was around and they're like, hey, what are you doing? And then he got found out.
That's what I love. A government official approached him. He was by himself, which is not common. And he just ran away. And so,
which seems to shout guilty of something.
You know, why would he run?
When you're running away.
So the government official grabbed somebody else and they basically followed his footsteps, found him hiding in a cave where he had set up his own free camp. And you're supposed to come over and camp with everybody else.
Now, because he did not pay the initial fee and he was found, he's been charged, he has to pay a fine, which I believe is
$22,000. $22,000. They take his passport. He has to go back to some government office to get his passport, and he has to leave. He's not allowed to climb in Nepal for at least 5 years. He could be banned from the country altogether for 10 years. And he says he did not have enough money to get the flight that he was supposed to get back to the capital city.
He's kind of stuck there?
Well, he's going to walk and take buses. So they let him go. He has been unreachable for comment, which means he's still climbing the mountain
somewhere
would be my guess.
He's climbing the next one. It's like, I'm not going there. I'm going to that one.
Fine, I'll go over here.
I just thought that was bad. Like, you think you didn't have $11,000. You now don't have $22,000.
Dude, so much money.
How mean would it be, too, if they still charged you the $11,000 as well? You have to pay both.
I guess my question becomes, they must get money from you on some level when you're trying to get your passport back.
Mm-hmm. But that is a common tactic. If a country or someone takes your passport, then yes, you have to pay to get it back.
So I wonder how that works. If he's like, I didn't have $11,000. I don't have $22,000.
Who knows? So he must have spent some money, though, to get it back. They wouldn't have let him out without it.
He's not out yet.
No, like you said, he's just walking around now.
No. He's walking back to that place to get the passport.
To get the passport.
Right.
Oh, he's going to be wandering for quite some time.
So fingers crossed for that guy.
Well, and just a heads up, too, if you ever wanted to climb. That's a GoFundMe if I ever heard of one.
Start saving now, guys.
Yes, you need to have all that money.
It's not just enough to say because it's there.
Or to have your gear, you need the money.
The Riot.
Apparently some of the less athletic types go nuts for this stuff.
Radio U.
Just as I am fascinated by what does the Riot do when they stop being the Riot, I always just think it's fascinating to look at once someone does something that they are unbelievably well known for, what is the thing that they do after that?
Yeah.
And so, for example, this is going to sound really dumb, but I watched a thing about Star Trek actors. And, like, you know, they were really well known for these iconic characters that they made.
Typecast, so can you get out of that mold?
And it's like, what do you do afterwards? And one of them, like, he collected a bunch of weird things. And I was like, oh, fame was not good for him. Fame was not good. But then, you know, like William Shatner, the guy that used to be Captain Kirk, like he's way into horses. He has like this horse farm and he trains horses and like all this stuff. There's just things that you would never know about. Look at presidents. You've been the quote unquote leader of the free world. What do you do when you get done? So George W. Bush paints now. That's like a thing he does, apparently a lot.
Yeah.
And then he gives his paintings as gifts, which, you know, that's kind of cool. What about Bill Clinton, though? Former President Bill Clinton is teaming up and writing a novel.
A novel. I'm afraid to ask, what's this novel about? Is it like the Colonel with the book we talked about yesterday from KFC?
It's the obvious joke, isn't it?
I know.
It's the obvious joke.
It's like, well, no, what is it really? Is it a murder mystery?
About a powerful man whose interns can't resist him.
It's just wonderful.
No, he is teaming up with James Patterson. And you're like, who is James Patterson? Well, James Patterson is a novelist who apparently I guess he's really well known. I haven't read any of his stuff.
What's his style?
Okay, well, If I say Alex Cross, does that mean anything to you?
Alex Cross?
Okay, they made a movie with the Madea guy. Help me out.
Tyler Perry.
Tyler Perry, okay? They made a movie where he was the star of that movie called Alex Cross. But if you go back into the 90s, there were two Alex Cross movies as well. These were written by James Patterson. Alex Cross is the character he created. And they were Along Came a Spider and Kiss the... No, not Kiss the Girls. Yeah, Kiss the Girls. And those movies had Morgan Freeman starring as Alex Cross. So he is a well-known novelist. He's a beach read slash airline guy.
Sure.
So
it's an airport read.
Airport read, that's what it is.
The one where you're actually buying a physical book at the airport. You don't know why.
Could you just, hey.
And, but then you could like return it at the next airport if you're a fast read.
Yep. So that time I went to the airport and didn't fly anywhere, I looked into that program. I was like, well, this is fascinating.
Yeah, you can just drop it off of the next one.
Okay, so James Patterson is teaming up with Bill Clinton. They're writing a novel called The President Is Missing. It's going to be out June of next year. Isn't that fascinating?
It's a very odd tie-in, but I guess if you're using him as like the input on the president side of it.
Let me tell you what. Bill Clinton, if there's a lot, I mean, you can argue a lot of things about Bill Clinton, but that guy knows what it's like to be president.
Sure.
He did it for 8 years.
He says, I'm a storyteller. This is James Patterson. And President
Please don't
Clinton.
Tell me the president said
no, no,
that.
No, no, no. That's
I tell
the author.
Stories.
Nope. He says, I'm a storyteller, and President Clinton's insight has allowed us to tell a really interesting one. It's a rare combination.
Okay. All right.
So they have been friends for about a decade.
He says that the president was a devoted mystery reader, loved his novels, and apparently at some point they made that connection. They said they've been friends for about 10 years.
A long time.
Yeah, so
my style, but it's interesting.
It's not mine either. I've never read anything by James Patterson, but I don't know. There's something fascinating about a former president writing a novel. I'm curious.
You don't have to apologize unless you've done something wrong.
Well, I'm sorry. I can't even think straight right now.
This is the worst of the riot. We're very, very sorry.
It was not exactly this time yesterday, but it was yesterday when Nikki and I had some of this Mountain Dew essay.
You have to always say it that way.
While we're having it, I think I'll just go ahead and still got the lid on. Have a little sip.
That is the combination of what was it, Voltage?
Boy, it's good.
Code Red and Whiteout?
It really is good.
It's the three flavors all put in the same Mountain Dew bucket, swished together, and then sent to stores.
It's a celebration of America.
It's got red, white, and blue packaging, which means it's good for Memorial Day.
And a 4th of July. That's what they say. Now, that's not the only American brand that's celebrating America this year. The good people at Oreo would like you this summer to experience Oreo fireworks. Have you seen it?
Now, wait, isn't apple pie supposed to be coming out? Wasn't that a new flavor, too, or is that an old one?
I can't speak to that. I don't know.
Don't you remember that?
Kinda.
They told us about this flavor, and it was like, when's it going to come out? Like in the summer, but that
all
was
right.
Forever ago.
Let's find out. Oreo, apple pie, Oreos are coming. Yeah, that says that this is coming out.
Yeah, something else. Elijah's drinking currently a Dew essay at this moment. So, Elijah, way to be in sync.
Me too, brother.
With the
Me
show.
Too. All right.
Why are you drinking out of it? Now I can't have any.
You can?
No, it's fine.
Oh, look at that. I mean, there's a little bit of backwash, but it's mostly Dew essay. You can have it.
When I walked in the studio this morning, the lights were down just enough to where that bottle had a little left of Dew essay. Uh-huh. But because of the tint with the lights being down low and the glow, it looked like chaw, like the if you ever see someone who spits, it spits in a bottle. We're just like, what is that? Oh, then I remembered it was Dew essay.
But, I mean, as chaw goes, it's pretty flavorful.
It's not chaw, but it just had that look of like, what is in that bottle?
Okay, Nikki, you are right. There is supposed to be an apple pie Oreo coming out this summer, but I don't have a release date here of any kind.
So what else is the other Oreo flavor?
Okay, well, like the new hotness possibility. I'm still looking
reading
at these.
This?
Okay, yeah, the Oreo fireworks, those are supposed to be out sometime soon. I don't have a release date on those either. But
do they have the Pop Rocks in it? Or?
They do. It's regular Oreo flavors with Pop Rocks in it. But they are using that to kick off a contest in which all the way between now and July 14th, they are going to be allowing people to pick the next Oreo flavor.
What's left?
What is left? I have some of the submissions already. Café de Olla, coffee with cinnamon and... Well, I don't know what that is. Something. Let's see. What else? Oh, gosh. A chocolate mousse Oreo?
Maybe.
I'll just tell you that the photo sells it.
It does it?
It sells it. Hazelnut coffee Oreo? No.
Maybe.
And I hate to break it to you, everybody, but hazelnut's no good.
Why?
All right? It's no good. If people keep putting it in stuff, it's not good.
Is that the one you're supposed to worry because it tastes like arsenic, or is that almonds or the one thing? Do you remember that?
I know what you're saying,
you're
but
just
I don't
like,
know.
What's in this thing? Because it's supposed to, if it has that nutty flavor, it could be something trying to kill you.
All right, cheesecake Oreo.
Now that sounds good.
That actually sounds good.
And then I feel like
good.
That could shoot off to like cherry cheesecake or blueberry cheesecake. Like you got a lot of options. It can have swirls in it.
I mean, sometimes I'll go and buy an Oreo cheesecake, so it seems like a very natural fit.
And the Oreo cookie could be a Graham Oreo cookie.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, if you're just getting with us, these are ideas that people are submitting to Oreo for those. And you can actually submit your own if you want. If they pick yours, $500,000, which
Crayola could learn a lesson from that.
Boy, couldn't they really?
Crayola has a crayon, like a contest for some sort of color thing. And their gift is $100, like a gift card.
No, in Crayola goods.
In Crayola goods. That's not how you do it. Oreo is showing you how you do a grand prize.
All right, Nikki, thanks to friend of the show, The Derek.
Yeah.
He says that it's nutmeg that tastes
nutmeg?
Like arsenic.
Mm.
Okay. A couple more that have been submitted here. Mojito, acai Oreo,
mm-hmm.
and the blue raspberry Oreo. That's wrong.
I could
I'm sorry.
Like a cobbler.
Okay. Yeah.
Or right. tiramisu.
Buttery popcorn. Wrong.
Ugh.
Nope. That's not it either. So look, if you think you've got that flavor, you're like, this is the one. I know it. All you gotta
and you
do
didn't
is,
know how to get that to them so they could take your flavor idea.
Right. Now they're going to steal your idea, become Oreo millionaires, and then they'll give you $500,000, which will be approximately $250 after taxes.
They're basically pulling is it Lay's that does the...
Do us a flavor?
The do us a flavor. Like they're pulling that.
See how Mountain Dew came back into that? Do S-A, do us a flavor. It's everywhere.
Oh, so that's your Oreo news.
Oh, now I really want an Oreo. I'm not just like saying that as a joke. Like,
I don't think we have any.
I know we don't.
The riot used to be three people.
Please tell me we're not discussing video games again.
The other guy didn't make it. It's the riot.
You've been coughing since you had the Mountain Dew do SA.
You know, my body's rejecting it. It is.
And well, we're not close enough to Memorial or... 4th of July to be having that drink.
That's actually the problem. If I had waited,
and
I would
been patient
be okay.
like you were supposed to.
Mm-hmm. So, Nikki, I've got a survey here that says that the average consumer would be willing to chuck an extra $5,000 on the cost of their car
yeah.
to get a self-driving car.
Yeah, maybe.
You think? Would you do, like, if you had the option and Siri could drive for you in the morning?
And just take me to work?
Would you climb in the back seat and let Siri do the driving?
Can I count that $5,000 for, like, the life of whatever car I switch to? So, like, say you're in a lease.
Okay, so and it,
so it's
it
like a 3-year
over.
Lease, like it rolls into the next one. Are we talking just for the life of that one car?
Nikki.
Because that's a lot of money if you're only having that car for 3 years.
I can't answer that question.
This is survey doesn't work
I mean,
for me.
It doesn't.
How does, I mean, you have to give me a realistic life scenario with it. And if I'm leasing a car, I don't know.
Nikki, I'm on your side in this. I got to go back there and talk to them because sometimes they just won't go for things like this. But every once in a while, you know, we can sneak one past and push
and I, it through. And that doesn't mean I want to just go ahead and purchase the leased car outright at the end of my contract.
You
and now I
want to.
Have a self-driving car and it'll stay there for the life of it. But for $5,000, depending on my car situation,
okay,
maybe I would.
All right. I still don't trust self-driving cars. The idea of like,
hey. There's been some problems. There's been some that are fine, but there's been some problems.
Man.
And it depends. Are you talking like a real self-driving one that can do turns and really get it all? Or are you talking if you're going straight and you're on the freeway, it can handle it?
They're talking about an automated
driver.
Automobile. Yeah.
That would be nice. But I also don't have a very long commute.
Right. Now, to be clear, I love the idea of me not driving on my commute. Like, having time to sip coffee, you know, get updated on some things, you know, whatever, right?
Catch up on the news.
I think that sounds amazing.
Well, your drive is long enough. You could really use that.
I know. I tell you all the, like, things I would do to get ready. I would sleep the whole time. You guys know that, right? Like,
I'd actually get dressed and ready. Like, I'd just pull the curtains. Because I'd roll out of bed and just roll right on into the car.
Hey, not to be weird, but can we get a shower in the car?
Is that, like, doable?
Can we build that so, like, you're just getting ready the whole time you're in there, and that's the most, you know, if I'm paying $5,000 for an auto-driving car, how much extra for an auto-showering car?
Suddenly, we're all driving these big vans. Like, well, I got a shower in there.
Gotta
take my
shower.
We're living in this thing, and we're just enjoying it.
Yeah. Oh, man. No. Then if there's an accident and you, like...
You haven't gotten ready yet.
You're out there in your bathrobe like, well, I can't believe that...
Brushing your teeth.
This is going on.
Ready yet.
It's unbelievable. Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah, $5,000. I love technology. I love new stuff and gadgets and everything, but this is one that I'm still like...
I also don't believe this study or survey saying that we would all be willing to pay $5,000 to get an automated driving car because you know it'd be way more than $5,000.
Oh, yeah.
Why even think?
Some people speculate that the thing that will go away is car ownership. Like, you won't pay to own cars anymore. Instead, you will basically buy into a service and they will send a car to you, and you will then take whatever that car is, and that is the model that'll end up kind of like taking hold. You'll never end up with your own car, but you'll buy a Toyota contract.
It'll be an in-app purchase or something,
right?
Like
and
that.
Toyota will mm-hmm. send a car to pick you up every day. It's an interesting point. Still don't trust them. The robots are gonna get us.
That goat farm is looking more and more likely every day. It's the worst of the riot.
You don't have enough listening devices in your house right now.
As in, like, devices that listen to you or
you're
listening?
And then, no, like, devices that listen to you and then record those and send it back to the CIA,
the
NSA, whoever, and Amazon. They need to be listening more. And that's why it's not official yet, but the Wall Street Journal is saying that today Amazon will unveil the Echo Show that will be available, they're saying, like, soon, and it'll cost $230, allegedly, according to the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
And imagine this. Okay, you've seen an Amazon Echo. It looks
like a hockey puck or a tall one.
The Echo Dot is the hockey puck looking one. I always think that the Echo looks like a tumbler. Like, it's, what is it, like... I don't know how tall it is, but, and it's
speaking.
Tumbler
it sounds, size?
Yeah. Like a 16 ounce tumbler.
Yeah.
I will say that I think it sounds really good. I've heard music come out of one. It's like, oh, that is surprisingly cool. I have an Echo Dot at home. I would have said, like, oh, who needs that? It's great. And I mean, yes, it is true that a lot of what it does, I could have my phone do, but it's very cool. Well, the Echo Show is basically going to be an Amazon Echo, but it's going to have a screen on it.
Nice.
And so a screen, and they're saying an attached Bluetooth speaker that'll just be to die for. The sound recreation will be wonderful. But you'll look over at the Amazon Echo Show, and it'll show you things like, what's the current temperature? What time is it? And what's the next item on our agenda?
Again, I'm sorry, but it is a lot like still what your phone or tablet can do.
That's the thing.
But they want you to not realize that, or if you're not into that, try to get a market of someone who wants a dedicated thing set then, like there.
It's everything already.
Yeah.
The price,
basically the price of a tablet.
Your phone already does this, your tablet already does this, et cetera, et cetera. But here's one more thing that does that. Interesting. The only thing I will say is that I have been thinking about swapping out. I've got an old alarm clock and I don't want to use my phone as an alarm clock. So I have been thinking about getting a device that would be something similar to
this. Like a dock, but more.
Yeah, and maybe having something like this be the thing beside my bed. But
I love it. If you don't have a tablet, you're like holding it, watching Netflix on it.
Yeah.
<you're> like, and it's not a tablet. Like, you're going to look ridiculous.
Is this thing getting Netflix?
It's like, can I watch something? Okay, it's beside your bed.
Yeah. So, well, the thing at this point is, like, we don't know what else it does. So sure. It does everything that an Echo will do, but it has a screen on it. So what other kinds of things will you be able to display on the screen? I don't know.
Your Amazon cart.
Why don't you get a $30 Amazon Fire tablet and just set it up next to your bed?
Yeah, but if Amazon's making more money on these, they'll just turn what your Fire tablet and stuff into these, because then they can get more money off of it.
Keep in mind, Nikki, that your Fire tablet, you'd have to reach over and touch a button and then start talking. With this,
I feel like they're
you can just start talking.
They're eventually going to merge together.
It's going to be one device?
Yes.
Well, that's what your tablet kind of already is.
Used to have been. I don't know what you're doing, Amazon. And I understand people like the Echo or the Dot one, and that's fine. But when you start creeping up even more price-wise.
I bet this thing sells.
Bet people buy it. To which market?
You know what? Here's the thing, Nikki. And I could be wrong about this, but I think there are people, like, as dumb as you and I can be with money sometimes, not all the time.
Oh, no.
I think there are people that have even more money and can be even dumber.
No, I just think if you like live in the kitchen, or if you live in a room, or if you live in and you just want that dedicated thing that's always there, then yes. But that's a lot of money for something like that. When again, your phone or tablet already does it and it can move around with you.
Sounds like there's a relationship issue there, that a dedicated thing that can always be there.
That's all I'm looking for, and I thought I had it.
I want something that's dedicated to me and is always there.
But they're telling me that now I need another thing.
Well, yeah, but Nikki, after you spend this $230, you'll have a dedicated thing that's always there, and it will always be there.
That's all I'm looking for,
that's
you know?
That's all I'm looking for.
I just feel like this is just one big way to still be able to access my Amazon cart, because they want me to buy something right then and there.
Yeah, Nikki, and we'll give you a discount if you buy it through the Echo.
The Riot. The Riot.
All right, pace yourself, because you're going to have to do this all day for very little money.
Radio U.
Let me tell you what God does for me. A lot of times, okay, like I'll sit down and it's like, all right, I'm going to talk to God now. And I always have my lists. My list typically consists of like things that I've done wrong. So we got to talk about that. Like, all right, God, I don't know if you've been keeping a list, but I've been keeping a list all day of everything I did wrong today, and let's talk about it. And then there's a list of stuff that I need him to do. Like, okay, God, now I need you to fix this and get on that and get whatever. And, you know, I've got my lists. And it was really interesting last night, sitting down at the end of the day. I didn't want to talk to God. I wanted to watch Netflix. And
that was your list. That's called a cue.
I was like, That's it. I was like, I have my tablet out. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to go off and take time for you and me, God. I just want to watch this show. Can I just watch this show? And it's one of those funny things where it's like, yeah, I can do that. I could do whatever I want. But I know if I would just take some time and spend with God, I know I would get more out of that than watching Netflix. So I put my tablet down, and I've got, a lot of times I go off by myself. So I got like my little spot. So I went off to my spot and I was like, all right, God, I'm not watching Netflix. Let's get the lists out. And what I thought was funny was, I was, as I said, not super interested, not whatever, but I sat there with God and I was overwhelmed with just how much that God loved me. And I wanted to talk about my list, and the overwhelming presence of God just being like, look, I don't care about your lists. I care about you. And we just sat there. And it was funny how we cut through all the superficial stuff, the stuff that I thought was so important. And God and I talked about things that I think are really important, and not just that stuff that I think is so important. And the time I spent with God last night, I couldn't begin to tell you, I really don't think I could fairly put into words just how important that time became in those just few minutes that God and I spent together. And I did get up and go watch Netflix eventually, but like that time that God and I had. And I'm telling you all of this for one reason. You've got a great life, and you've got plenty of great things going on, and you've got Netflix, and you've got, you know, you've got all this stuff, and it's great. And I'm not telling you that your life isn't great. But there is this other thing that I think that you're missing out on, and it has made such a huge difference for me and my life that I don't want you to miss out on it. I want you to know what it's like to be so loved and so accepted, and to have God come in to want to spend time with you and to deal with the real deep stuff, the underneath stuff that really matters. That's the kind of stuff that God is interested in talking to you about. So look, today, you can, let's be clear, you can take in whatever list you want. Like, God and I still talk about all the dumb little stuff about why doesn't the USB connect or like whatever it is. We still talk about that, but there's more. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you can actually start one. Just say, Jesus, I don't know exactly what Obadiah is talking about, but I want that. I want you to come into my life. I want you to fill me with your spirit. I want to know what it's like to have that kind of friendship. And like I said, you know, you can still take time and do the stuff you want to do, but there might be something better than time with your tablet today. Maybe something that you would do first. Something to think about.
Let's take all of the most mind-numbing things the Riot has ever said and play them again.
It's a stupid idea, but I love it.
It's the Riot on Radio U.
I did it again. I'm getting the Swedes and the Swiss mixed up.
It happens more often than we would care to admit.
Don't act like you've never done it.
It's not your only
you've
thing.
You've done it.
Everybody does that.
Everybody does it. Can you imagine if they were your neighbors? It's probably worse. You're like, I got to head over to Sweden. Switzerland. I meant Switzerland. Dang it. All right. So instead of getting in the sauna, I'm going to get some chocolate.
So this is not about Sweden. It is about Switzerland.
It's about Switzerland, Nikki.
Switzerland, all right.
Now, here in the United States, how do we know when winter is going to end?
The groundhog thing?
The groundhog tells
us. Yeah, like how much longer winter will last.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Switzerland,
I almost thought it was a Game of Thrones thing. I was like, I don't know. I don't remember.
They don't know how long winter will last.
I don't remember.
So in Switzerland, they've got a tradition where they have the Sechseltan festival, and it culminates in the burning of the bog.
Where they burn a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of burning there. The bog is this. It's a giant snowman that's packed with firecrackers and then burnt at the stake.
That is so harsh.
It really is. They take a giant snowman and set him on fire. But that's not all. See, his head is packed full of firecrackers.
Well, they really want it to be noticeable.
Yeah. And they say that the faster his head explodes...
Wait, how long winter?
That's how long summer is going
summer
to last.
Oh, summer
will be? Like, if it's going to be an intense summer or a not-so-intense summer. So they say the quicker his head explodes, the better the weather will be in the summer.
Summertime in Switzerland?
This year, Bog took 9 minutes and 56 seconds to explode, which they say is a very quick time, which means a hotter summer.
This is how, of course, I plan my travel to Switzerland.
Well, don't we all?
I wait for the bog burning till I make my airline ticket purchasing.
Look, I have some friends that used to live in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah.
And that's one of the famous groundhog places, right? And they said that the week and the weekend, like all that, like leading up to Groundhog Day, it is insane in Punxsutawney. Like, you don't want to go there. You don't want to live there. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's where you're supposed to rent out your place and go somewhere else.
Airbnb that thing.
Yeah.
Well, here it is, Nikki.
They have bog burning.
Has their big, big thing, and like everybody be packing in there. Now, the record time for bog to burn was in 2003. He exploded in 5 minutes and 42 seconds.
That's a hot, hot summer.
Switzerland went on to have one of their hottest summers on record.
Because you're burning stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, last year, bog took 43 minutes and 34 seconds to explode, the longest time on record, and it ended up, they say, still being very hot and dry. So it's not an exact science.
No, really?
What?
The burning of the snowman statue with the firecrackers put in his head telling us how long summer will be in Switzerland?
Well,
I thought that was scientific.
I you know, it's a...
It's based on that old legend.
The other thing, too, is, Nikki, like, with statistics, you always have an outlier. So it's like, you know, statistics trend a very certain way.
Sure.
And then there's that one person.
The one snowman.
That gets it a little wrong. So whatever. I think we should have our own bog.
I don't think we have the fire code set up or a space for it or fireworks.
Nobody park in this side of the parking lot. We're having a bog burning.
The Riot spent their entire advertising and promotion budget on catering and craft services.
The junk that guy eats has finally caught up with me.
So please tell your friends. It's The Riot on Radio U.
You guys know The Riot's policy on cake, and that is that any occasion that's worth celebrating is worth getting a cake for.
Let us eat cake. We will.
So, Nikki, here's an occasion that you could celebrate, but I don't know if you do. Do you celebrate your dog's birthday?
Well, not with cake, and I don't like have a party, but okay. They can have like a cookie treat or something. Like I do know when their birthdays are.
Okay.
Because our vet sends out like an email reminder that day. So that's what you get. You get an email reminder like happy birthday Snickers.
So does Snickers get like a treat? You said a treat, but like do you wrap it up? Does he unwrap it?
No. And I do say, oh, happy birthday Snickers when I remember that that's his birthday. Some dog stores or pet stores, you can go and get little birthday cakes or mm-hmm. cookies mm-hmm. That look just delicious to where you might eat them. But I do not.
I love cake.
I know. And why wouldn't a dog love cake, too?
I don't like cake.
You love cake.
I love cake.
So do you think if you had a dog, would you just be like, well, let's go get a sheet cake?
Maybe.
It's like, it's a birthday.
I'm not against it.
Yeah. But I don't throw a party for my pets.
Okay. Well, according to this particular survey, they say that 75% of pet owners celebrate their dog's birthday.
With something?
With something.
Yeah.
58% in this survey sing happy birthday to their dog.
Maybe I've done that.
I will tell you right now, like, that doesn't seem unreasonable to me.
Especially here in our country, our pets are family members for most people.
Yeah.
There are some that could do a better job at taking care of not only their pets and family members. But yeah, you would celebrate their birthday. You do something. They're your family members.
Well, you know, the other side of that, too, is that even if you don't treat your pet like they're a family member, it doesn't mean you have to be a jerk to them.
Exactly.
I mean, they can be the dog, the pet, and you could still be kind to them and treat them well.
And that includes saying happy birthday.
So they are saying that 14% of owners throw parties and invite friends who bring their dogs, and they literally treat it like a child's birthday party. In fact, there is a whole boutique industry in which people are just like, you
dog
know,
party, here we go.
Big time dog party stuff. So it just depends. But according to the people that make, and this is a dog food in the UK called Lily's Kitchen, they say that on average, people spend about $20 a year on a special
cake
thing
or
for
something.
Their dog for
aww.
A birthday. So
why not? If you do something for your animal, your pet on its birthday, don't feel bad.
I don't know. It seems reasonable. Like, again, I'm not throwing a party.
I think that actually ties in with certain types of dog breeds and just certain things. Like, if you're more of a party person, you like to entertain, and you're like, well, why not? I'm just going to do this for my pet. But that's not everybody.
But it seems reasonable to me. Like, for example, it's Christmas. Everybody's getting something. Heck yeah.
Give your dog a bone.
Give him a bone here.
Give him a bone or something. It's a holiday.
Throw him a bone.
For crying out loud.
You know?
It's nice to hear you say that. I think that's refreshing.
It seems reasonable.
They don't even need a survey for this. It's not, just don't be crazy.
You know.
You're hearing it for the first time, and it sounds terrible.
It's the worst of the Riot on Radio U.
I want a huge breakfast right now. A huge one. I don't want, like, I don't know, whatever. Like,
you're
little
hungry,
fluffy,
is
whatever.
What you're
like,
saying.
I want, like, food.
Well, yesterday we were talking about the Instagram sensation cloud eggs.
Oh.
So we could make something if you wanted. I think there's still eggs in the fridge.
There actually are eggs in the fridge. I could.
You could make some eggs after the show.
I could have eggs.
Or you could have lunch after the show.
We could have lunch.
Or what are you wanting during the show?
I would like, I think, a multi-course presentation. Perhaps some waffles, some bacon, some sausage, biscuits and gravy.
Oh, a bagel too. Just toasted with cream cheese.
You know what? I'm not going to say no to that.
Sounds good.
Let's just go ahead and let's make our dreams come true. Okay? Let's do it.
What are we? A travel or a cruise destination? Are we making our dreams come true?
Well, you know what? If I make this dream come true, I'm going to be embarrassed when I get on the other one. Because I'll be like, I don't have a bikini body. I have a bagel body. And
bagel and bacon. Oh, yeah.
I made some choices. I made choices, and I'm a little ashamed of them.
I like when you want to get bikini body ready, and you're like, well, when's bikini season? It's in 1 week. I'm just starting.
Next week. So, and then you just go straight to Aunt Jemima. Just like, make me feel better. So Aunt Jemima is actually doing a recall. And if you were thinking to yourself, oh, maybe we'll just get some waffles up in here. No, not an Aunt Jemima waffle. They say Aunt Jemima has got Listeria. Oh,
now you have to watch how you're saying that, okay?
What?
You mean there's a chance the waffle mix of Aunt Jemima...
Here's what we got.
Being recalled for?
They're recalling a bunch. Now, there's a huge list that you would have to go and look up, but some of the products included are Aunt Jemima Mini Pancakes, Aunt Jemima French Toast, Aunt Jemima Cinnamon French Toast, Little Griddler's Blueberry, Homestyle Waffle Mix, Buttermilk Waffle Mix.
I like that.
Oatmeal Pancakes, Whole Grain Pancakes, Buttermilk Pancake, 6 ounce... Something Club Pancake Premium, Pancake Mexico, French Toast and Sausage. These all are being recalled. And
all
again,
are punished.
You'll have to look at the very specific boxes because they may have Listeria, which includes fever, muscle aches, nausea, diarrhea, headache, stiff neck, confusion, loss of balance, convulsions, other mild flu-like symptoms.
It just seems when you're at the end of a very long day. Can't tell the difference. Is this Listeria?
Might just be Tuesday.
Or what do I have?
Apparently, Aunt Jemima, and they come from some of the parent company. I didn't know this. If you get a Hungry Man Select.
That's the same company as Aunt Jemima?
Looks like they're packing that up in the same factory.
So what do they think got in, or what's their concern?
You know what? I don't know why.
Just Listeria?
Something must have tested for it, and they sent it out. The thing that's bad about Listeria is a lot of times with frozen food, okay, like let's say it gets a little sneeze on it at the factory. They freeze it. It pretty much kills whatever.
Just like with a lot of heat.
Right.
You know, like freezing too.
But Listeria can live through frozen temperatures and microwave temperatures.
Yep.
So
it's something that doesn't go away.
It's just hanging out, waiting for a chance to give you one of many symptoms.
Which makes you realize they probably have a lot of stuff that they know about going into their food that they don't have to do a recall for because it either goes away in the heat or the cold.
Absolutely.
But with Listeria,
they're just there.
They have to do the recall.
Waffles, blowing their nose in, wiping it under their arm.
It's a total recall. It's a total recall.
Here, take this machine and jam it up your nose. You've got to get it out.
There's a pancake up there. It's Listeria.
All right. Well, maybe I don't want breakfast. Wonder what's in this water I'm drinking. Don't ask that question either.
You're not supposed to. Just drink it.
The worst of the riot is over, but the fun can keep going.
Hey, I saw you checking out my goods.
Check the Riot blog or stalk us on social media.
You want to sample them? A little try before you buy, huh?
Through riot.radiou.com.
You want to look like you have a big butt, but not so big they want to get a second look at it.